We invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by the Reverend Bob Goeckeler on September 6, 2026 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida. The title is, Can't We Just Talk?
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be with me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been in a dispute? Silly question. I don't think any of us could truthfully say, oh, no, never. Disagreements are part of life. Not always big arguments, but differences of opinion and points of view are as much a part of life as breathing. We start out as young kids arguing with friends or siblings about who gets to play with the toy or whose toy is it? Or maybe, who gets to eat the last cookie? On a playground, little arguments over trivial things can grow into fights or bullying. Not a good thing, but a part of growing up. I remember being on the receiving end of such treatment in elementary school. I don't even remember what it was about. But Bruce was going to beat me up after school. I was scared. He was much bigger than I was. That fight never happened, but it sure left an impression. As we get older, the things we argue and fight about get bigger and far more serious. All we have to do is watch the evening news to see that reality. Property disputes, domestic disputes, contract disputes, and so much more can land us in court. Sadly, all too often, rather than seeking to settle our issues through such systems, the result is to take matters into one's own hands through violent behavior, verbal abuse, and sometimes shootings, sinful responses to sinful actions. Of course, it is not just individuals who have their differences. Nations have disagreed and battled for generations. It's nothing new. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, "You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. These things must take place." The dangers of wars have certainly gotten more serious through the generations as more and more advanced weapons are created. Weapons that earlier generations never dreamed of. I can still see the pictures of the destruction of World War II Europe. and of course Pearl Harbor, as well as the horrors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then the Napalm Girl photo from Vietnam. Of course, in our own time, not using bombs, but airliners. The images from September 11 still haunt us. As people claiming to be followers of Jesus, such images and behaviors should bother us. Yes, Jesus said we will hear of wars, and the Gospels tell us that there were times when Jesus got upset and even angry. Sometimes we hear of his displeasure with the scribes and Pharisees. And of course, there is the well-known scene in the temple recorded in all four Gospels. As Mark records it, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him. That response seems all too familiar. Not exactly the peaceful, meek character we often visualize Jesus as being. Clearly, Jesus recognized that sometimes more forceful responses are called for. But he also told us in his Sermon on the Mount to turn the other cheek. It all seems contradictory, but really it is not. Jesus recognized the realities of our human existence and our emotions. He certainly wants us to live in harmony with one another. But he knew that was not always going to happen, or even possible, as God gave us the ability to make choices, both good and bad. Life brings us disputes between one another, but also disputes between us and God. Long ago, God laid out the rules through the commandments and through Scripture. But then, and now, people don't always like those rules. We think we know better, and those rules just don't apply to us. Or at least, they shouldn't. One of the Psalms appointed for today, which we did not read, is Psalm 119, which says in part, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain." The psalmist, wanting to follow the right path as God called for, yet struggling as we do, trying to actually follow that path and asking God to help and guide along the way. In essence, asking God to guide him away from sin. In our first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, who lived and was active in the period around 600 BC, a time when Israelites endured exile in Babylon, comes across pretty harsh. The Lord told Ezekiel to be a watchman over the people of Israel, to warn them of impending dangers, the dangers of evil and sin in their midst. The warnings really are not just for the people of Israel, but for all people, as is clear from surrounding portions of Scripture. While there is surely plenty that Ezekiel says about God's judgment and punishment, another significant focus of his book is renewal of the inspired spirit of the nation Israel and of the temple in Jerusalem. He also stressed the hope for personal renewal of each individual and of the need for personal responsibility. We see it all too often, where it seems that some folks just think they are special and exempt from the rules the rest of us are supposed to obey. You know, I don't really need to stop at that stop sign. I can park in the handicapped parking spot. It's okay if I cheat on my finances and taxes just a little bit. I can steal just a little. I don't have to be faithful to my spouse and family. The list could go on and on. Perhaps there's an idea that it's okay. I'm really not hurting anybody. We only deceive ourselves with that idea. Because even if we don't hurt someone else, we hurt ourselves. Chopping away a little bit at a time in our integrity and honesty. There are consequences when we do wrong. Make no mistake. Sin is sin, whether anyone sees it or not. In second grade, our teacher had gone out for a little while, leaving us to study on our own. Now, you know, kids being kids, several of us were dancing around, hopping from desktop to desktop. Needless to say, we got caught and marched down to the school office, where the principal, Mr. Marble, a great name for an elementary school principal, by the way, let us have it. Of course, our parents were called as well. I sure learned that day that there are consequences for making a bad choice. We, like the psalmist, want God to let us know the right path, and through Scripture, God has provided us that knowledge. It is up to each of us whether or not we follow that path or choose to ignore it. I think we sometimes deceive ourselves thinking that we are Christian people and Jesus died to take away and forgive our sins, so we can pretty much do what we want. But that was not it. John the Baptist and Jesus both made it quite clear that the first step is repentance, admitting our faults and failures. We don't just get a clean slate with no effort on our part. One of my really favorite little pieces of scripture is the robber who was crucified with Jesus. He received forgiveness even after an evil life. But first, he admitted to Jesus that he fully deserved his punishment and acknowledged who Jesus was. We must do the same, and that is not always easy. Conversation between us and God is vital as we seek forgiveness and a new start. It is also vital between people. Our gospel reading today talks about sinning against one another, something we do so often, sometimes consciously, and sometimes without even thinking about it or realizing what we're doing. Taking something that doesn't belong to us, gossiping, lying. We've all done it, but that doesn't make it right. Some little things kind of blow over, but other times the damage lingers, breaking down relationships and friendships. A few weeks ago, Hal was telling me about his antique car and mentioned that any of the old parts could be replicated by a talented machinist restoring the car. God is the great machinist of our relationships with one another and with God, restoring what has been broken. In our gospel reading, Jesus is encouraging us not to bury our issues, but to talk them out. Not making a public spectacle, but privately talk, and importantly, listen. As some say, that's why we have two ears and only one mouth. When we do listen and converse with one another, we can overcome so many wrongs that we may feel have been committed against us. Far too often, we let things linger and fester, and often they are more misunderstanding than evil intentions. Jesus outlines how we should talk, and if that doesn't work, we should then try again with some help. As Christ's followers, it is our responsibility to try to bring about peace and understanding between people and between others in this world God created. We need to talk. Not text message, not email, not social media. Talk face to face, where we can converse and interact directly, picking up on facial expressions and emotions. Then differences get resolved and relationships built or rebuilt. Remember, when we gather, even two or three, and invite Jesus to be there in our midst, he will be there. And his Spirit will guide us in our interactions and lead us to working through the challenges and differences we have. Can't we just talk? May it be so. Amen. Please be with me again in prayer. Lord Jesus, help us to see our own faults and sins and truly repent of them. And from there, forgive others who have hurt, offended, or sinned against us. May we be like you in this time and place. In your holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on September 6, 2026, at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida, by the Reverend Bob Geckler. The title was, Can't We Just Talk? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.